This is Ian Pickus, and we're in the Congressional Corner today with an independent candidate for Congress in Massachusetts' 1st House District, Nadia Millerin, who is running against longtime Congressman Richard Neal, a Democrat. Nadia, welcome to the Congressional Corner. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Ian. It's great to be here.
You know, so your story has made some headlines, of course, and we won't have time to go through the entire thing here. But for people who haven't heard your name before and who, you know, might be getting ready to vote in the district, just introduce yourself to begin with.
Okay, I will. I was an apolitical person. I did not want to be involved in politics. I do have some kind of concern for people and charisma, so my family had encouraged me to do it in the past, but I thought that politics was a dirty business. There's a lot of money involved in it. I thought the money just naturally corrupted people, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And then in March 10th of 2019, my daughter boarded an aircraft in Ethiopia. She was transferring planes. She was just going to Nairobi from Washington, D.C., and she boarded a new aircraft, which was the 737 MAX 8. And I was comforted when she texted us. She texted us and said, 2 more hours to Nairobi. And I thought, oh, well, she's safe right now because she's on a plane. So she's not in Nairobi traffic. So she'll be safe. And then actually, horrifyingly, I heard about the subsequent crash of that plane on WAMC. So I went downstairs. It Wow. was 1:30 in the morning, and I turned on the radio because I had something I had to clean up. And I heard the BBC, and the BBC, so she texted at 1:30 in the morning. And then I think by the time I turned the radio on, it was probably around 2 a.m. or just before 2 a.m. And the BBC said that an airplane taking off from Addis Ababa going to Nairobi, Ethiopian Airlines, taking off at 8:36 in the morning, which is a very specific time, and it was the time that her flight left, that it had crashed 6 minutes and 40 seconds after takeoff. And I remember just shaking in the laundry room, and I knew that she was on the plane, and I also knew that it was her plane, because one airline doesn't have two aircraft that are going to the exact same place at the exact same time. And then and then the whole horrible night unfolded. We just got in our car. We didn't know if there were survivors from the crash. We drove to JFK Airport. We ended up in Qatar 12 hours later. It's a 12-hour flight. And we learned there that there were no survivors. Anyway, after that terrible crash, I realized that there was a problem with the airplane because it was the second crash. But I still didn't want to talk to the press, and I still didn't want to become involved in any public way, because I told my uncle, Ralph Nader, he is my mother's brother, I told him, because he was urging us to stand up, your grieving families, you can prevent another crash. And I said, no way. Boeing is never going to allow another crash. This is the second crash. And the FAA will never allow another crash to happen. They will investigate. They will do everything possible to prevent it. I don't need to expose myself. I don't need to go to the press or the government or anything. I can just stay home and try to grapple with the fact that my beautiful daughter isn't with us anymore. I need to recover. I need to try to understand that and to try to function again. But he showed me something that turned me political. It turned me into an activist. He said, look, the FAA has changed the comment period to put the plane back into service from 30 days to 15 days. So he said, can't you see they're going to put the plane back into service without fixing it? And that motivated me. I didn't think that I could do anything. I didn't think I could make a difference in the face of Boeing and the federal government. But I knew that I couldn't live with myself. If there was a third crash and I didn't stand up, knowing that the government wasn't going to do everything possible to protect passengers and crew, then I wouldn't be able to, how could I manage that in the future? So I went to Washington out of a kind of miserable obligation. And I went from office to office with my family. I went to the NTSB, to the Department of Transportation, to the FAA, and we went to over, ultimately, even with Zoom meetings, we've met with over 300 members of congressional offices with their staff. So, I was very surprised in December of 2020 that the Aviation Safety Accountability Act passed unanimously, bipartisan. So I did all those actions, but I didn't expect results. And when I was on Capitol Hill, you can see the over 100 lobbyists from Boeing. You can see them going around in the offices. They have total access. They're wearing beautiful clothes. They come out from behind during the hearings. They come out with the representatives and senators from behind where we're not allowed to go. So I saw all that and I was discouraged. And then, wow, the bill passed. And we were a major part of that. And that encouraged me to the point where I could see that the FAA didn't have any leverage over Boeing. They weren't getting Boeing to improve their production defects. They're still showing up in the pilot reports to NASA. And so I thought, well, what if Boeing couldn't insure for the deaths? What if it cost them? Well, in Illinois at the time, there was no punitive damages for wrongful death. You can't insure for punitive damages. So I said to my husband and our lawyers, I'm going to Illinois to try to pass a law for punitive damages for wrongful death so that Boeing will self-correct, because the bean counters will think we can't afford that. Insurance won't cover that. And I did that. It took two sessions for it to pass. I only worked on it the first session. I wrote the initial legislation. I found a sponsor, and I did the same thing that I did in Washington. I just walked from office to office in the Illinois legislature in Springfield, and I lived in a Motel 6. And again, I got the feeling of discouragement. Wow, everybody's for this, but it's stuck in subcommittee. I can't seem to get any traction. The leadership isn't for this. And then when I left, the Illinois Trial Lawyers Association took up the cause, and the second session it passed. And in August of 2023, the governor of Illinois signed that legislation. So with two major legislative successes that were very unlikely, I thought about the fact that Richard Neal, I learned in January that he wasn't being, nobody was opposing him. And Richard Neal, my congressman, it was the least responsive office that we went to on Capitol Hill. So Richard Neal did meet with my husband and my son after the crash, but only after my uncle Ralph Nader called him and said, look, other people are supporting this family's effort on Capitol Hill. Why don't you meet with them? Why don't you support them? So that was all the way in June of 2019. And, Senator Warren's office, Senator Markey's office, Jim McGovern from just north of us, Stephen Lynch, Richard Blumenthal, all these people, all these legislators were showing what you can do to help crash families or any aggrieved person, help them push accountability on Capitol Hill. But my own representative did not help us, just sort of grudgingly met with us once. So under some kind of pressure, right? Being asked to do that. So I thought, wow, nobody's running against him? How can that be? He's been non-responsive, not only to me, but he talks about how he supports Social Security, but I can see his record. In 2003, he voted for a bill that weakened pensions protections for low-income workers. He has stalled for John Larson, brought forward a bill in 2022, and Richard Neal blocked it. That bill was supposed to bring Social Security up to the standard of living for today, so people can buy the same food today that they were able to buy with that money 20 years ago. That's just a logical thing to do to help our people. And then he's right now not co-sponsoring major reforms for Social Security that help municipal employees. So I watched, there's just so many other instances where he doesn't vote and doesn't support the electorate that are putting him in office. I mean, it's kind of astounding. So I decided to run because there needs to be at least the election can bring out these issues and inform the electorate. And at the best, I could be a person who is in office for a limited time, not as a career, but just to improve the standard of the office and make it responsive.
Now, Nadia, we just have about a minute left in today's segment. I want to say two things here. One, that, you know, Congressman Neal has been on the show, of course, so people who might be inclined to hear what he has to say can find those segments, of course. But secondly, before we talk about policy in the next time that we're together, I'm just wondering, can you take a minute and tell us how you've dealt with the grief of this awful experience your family has gone through? I mean, separate from putting your energies into policy and the efforts that you've made in state houses and the Capitol, I mean, how do you get through a day?
So grief is a physical experience, and we're 157 families. So I'm in touch with people in Kenya and Ethiopia and France and Ireland and Canada. And we find that we have a lot of similar problems functioning. So I have been able to recover my function through a thing called the grief recovery method. And I tried therapies. I tried everything. I did everything possible because I crashed my car. I repeatedly, because of my low function, I burned food. I wasn't focused. And now I recovered to the point where I'm able to run for Congress. So that really says a lot for this method. And it's a pretty simple method with an instructor. It's not therapy. And I was able, it was really a miracle in my life that I have been able to recover to this point.
Nadia Millerin is an independent candidate for Congress in the November election in the 1st House District in Massachusetts. That seat is held by the longtime Democrat Richard Neal. And when we come back the next time, Nadia, let's talk about some other issues.
Thank you so much, Ian.